Ramanti yogino nante satchana chitatmani iti rama padena so param brahma vidyate. Lord Ramachandra is known to us as Patitapavan, the deliverer of the most fallen. And why is it so that Lord Ramachandra is described as Patitapavan? Lord Chaitanya, he comes to deliver the fallen souls of the age of Kali. He is known as Patitapavan. But why Lord Ramachandra? Lord Ramachandra, as we see, is dedicated throughout the entire Ramayana to the principle of Dharma, the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Lord. He is free. He is not limited by restrictions like ordinary humans are, who have to become purified and who have to overcome their lower nature. All of us have become conditioned by a higher nature and a lower nature. The rules of Dharma help us to control and conquer that lower nature and to rise above. Therefore, human beings are meant to follow these rules of Dharma, these rules of prescribed duty. But why? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is supremely pure, who is by no means affected by any fault in his behavior, why would he have to be restricted by such rules? We see that when Krishna comes on this planet, that Krishna shows all his pastimes, unlimited. Whereas Lord Ramachandra voluntarily restricts himself. It is said that there were sages in Dandakaranya. And these sages in Dandakaranya, they were great liberated pure devotees. And because they were great liberated pure devotees, they desired to have a relationship in Madhurya Ras with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, that was not possible, because Lord Ramachandra came to teach Ekapatni Vrata, the vow to take only one wife. He could have had so many, but just see, his father had three, and see what complications arose. Immediately. Now, it is not in any way that we are here highlighting the faults in the female nature or something like that, but it is just three who have to share. That creates rivalry amongst anyone. Therefore, more than one wife is always troublesome. Just in case anyone was contemplating the option, better just one. And that Krishna is 16,108, that's inconceivable. That's no longer human. That's clear. That's beyond. So Lord Ramachandra, he comes and limits himself voluntarily to deliver the most fallen, and who are they? That's all the human beings. Because he particularly came to teach Dharma for the human beings. So one might be tempted to think, Patitapava, yes, because of the monkeys. Because of the monkeys. But actually, no. Dharma is particularly being taught to human beings. Therefore, the Ramayana is particularly for the human beings. And Lord Ramachandra is known as Patitapavan because he is delivering the human beings. to cover the whole Ramayana in one lecture is a little impossible, time-wise. Right? So I will not attempt to do that. But I'll do something. I guess just as the children were introducing various personalities and in that way taking us into the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, maybe I can also do a little introduction. Maybe we should begin with Ravana. After all, he is the spicy personality in the mix, the chili one could say. Right? If he's any spice, he's definitely the chili. So the chili generally goes in the beginning, in the preparation, in the chaunts. Right? And we, you know, if you really want the chaunts to penetrate deeply into the whole thing, you start with the chili in the ghee. Ravana, he who brought tears to people's eyes. That is his name, Ravana. That's the meaning of Ravana. A nice name. The one who makes others cry. So, pleased to meet you, Mr. Make Everybody Cry. So that is Ravana. Yes, everybody. Everybody cried. Not only those who were harassed by him, but even his own people cried. Everybody cried because of Ravana. His wives cried. Everybody cried because of Ravana. So Ravana is, it is described that Ravana had taken the plane from his brother, Pushpaka. And he was flying around in this plane, which was flying at will. His brother was none other than Kuvira, the treasurer of the demigods, and the plane was kind of, it was a pretty good model, so to say. You know, it was like upmarket, state-of-the-art, latest of the latest, and basically Ravana took his brother's car, who cried, of course, you know, that you can appreciate. And subsequently, Ravana was flying in this plane, in the skies, accompanied by many demons who were riding on various animals. Lions, tigers, jackals, and all kinds of horrible creatures. And they were flying in the sky, and they were harassing the sages who were performing sacrifices. They would come down and rip them apart and take their flesh and things like that. So Ravana and his rakshasas were quite demoniac. How is it that so long ago, in previous yugas, when the conditions of life are much better than today, that the demons were bigger than the demons that we have? Where are they, these kind of demons? Don't worry, the rakshasas are there, but they don't, oh yes, the human flesh eaters are there also now, but they don't have the same power as in these previous ages. We remember that at one point Ravana was needing allies in the fight with Ram. And we remember that he went to Bali Maharaj. Because after all, Bali Maharaj was from the daityas, from the demons. And he asked for help. And finally Bali Maharaj, he said, I can't fight, but all right, if you insist, I'll give you some help. Come with me. And he took him through the palace, and he took him to the treasury. And there he opened the door, and there was a mountain of gold. And he said, you can have this. Oh, that was, wow, thank you so much. And then, yes, then Bali said, yeah, just take it away. And Ravana was trying to take this gold away, but he couldn't move it. Then Bali said, have a good look at it. What does it look like? Then he said, it looks looks like a giant earring. That's right, Bali Maharaj said. This is the earring of Hiranyakasipu. And he tried to kill the Lord. And he was defeated. And now you're trying to defeat him? Give back Sita. So this was the common instruction of so many. Return Sita to Lord Ramachandra. Anyway, we start a bit earlier, and I always like the part where Kaikeyi has just taken her boons and she's ready to bend Ram to the forest. She's just basically got Dasarath to agree. Dasarath, after that, is just totally devastated to a point where he loses it. And by the time that Ram is called, then Dasarath is lying on the ground. So Ram is shocked to see his father lying on the ground. Kaikeyi is standing there, and Kaikeyi has something to say. And that's very, very clear. So Ram stands in what is called Vinaya Mudra. He stands in a very humble posture, ready to hear. And Kaikeyi is basically explaining that what is wrong with Dasarath? Is he ill? Is he suffering? What is it? Why is he lying on the ground? Your father has something to say to you. But his father couldn't say anything. He's just saying, Ram, Ram. And then Kaikeyi told him that she had used the boons that his father owed her, and that he was banned to the forest, and that Bharat would be crowned king instead of Ram. So there it begins, at least our story. And Lord Ramachandra is very, very peaceful. He is the only one. Everyone, the whole kingdom is devastated. Everyone is just thinking, how can this happen? The day before he was supposed to be crowned as king, he's banned to the forest. All the citizens are devastated. But there are two people who are not devastated. Kaikeyi, who's actually very pleased. Oh yes. And Ram, who's totally, who is saying, oh yes, I don't mind going to the forest. Actually, it is a great opportunity to gain knowledge, because the forest particularly is a place where one can gain knowledge, various sages. So I'm very fortunate that I have time for these things now, 14 years. So these 14 years will be a great benefit to me. Therefore, I don't mind. And he said to Kaikeyi, why did you waste those boons? You could have just asked me, and I would have gone on your say-so. You are my mother. Anyway, they went. So, as they came to the forest, they first came to the river Ganga. So the Ganga is very large. It is a very, very, very large river, and especially there in that area near Prayag, the Ganga is enormous. So how to get across? But there was, just as they were looking, this personality came from the forest, dressed in leather, a powerful bow on his shoulder, his head decorated with a turban, ornated with feathers, and he was Guha, the king of the Nisadas. Oh, and Lakshman was ready, a whole army came. Guha came with an army, so Lakshman was ready to fight. But Ram said, no, this must be Guha, who is a good friend of our father. And Guha turned out to be a great devotee. So he protected Ram, Lakshman, and Sita. And he took them across the river in boats. And there, on the other side of the river, they spent the night. Lakshman made a very nice bed for Sita and Ram of soft leaves and straw. And then on the border, he decorated it with flowers. And in this day, they were resting. But Lakshman himself, he was walking around, guarding from one side to another. And Guha came in the night. Lakshman was ready. But Guha said, "This forest is my home. I know everything in this forest. Nothing can escape me, escape my sight. So let me guard." And Lakshman said, "No. I have taken a vow that as long as we are in the forest, I will not sleep, and I will simply guard Lord Ram." So he was guarding, and Guha was thinking, "Why is he guarding? If I'm guarding, what dangers are there? Are there dangers to come?" Anyway, next, Sita and Ram were wandering in the forest the next morning. And actually, they kind of enjoyed the walk in nature. After all, nature is very beautiful. And they saw how there were black bees, and that these black bees were drinking the honey from flowers, and they were totally intoxicated. And they could hardly open their eyes. That's how intoxicated they were, those bees. But then there was one bee that was not intoxicated, and he was buzzing, and all the others followed him. And Ram said, just see, even the bees have their gurus. And Sita cracked up, you know. She was in stitches, right? I mean, she needed to laugh after all the stress of having been banned to the forest and everything. And then, you know, even the bees have gurus, right? So, in this way, Lord Ramachandra took Sita into the forest. And they appreciated. They appreciated. Then, Lord Ramachandra pointed out, "Just see, the little cubs of the elephants are playing with the little cubs of the lions." He said, "See, just playing." He said, "Yes. In youth, there is innocence. In youth, yes, there are no differences. And in youth, one is not worried about food. But when we are becoming adults, then we become worried about food. And then, in the jungle, the law of the most powerful is what counts. And then the animals begin to look at each other like food. But when they're cubs, they don't worry. The parents will feed them. My parents, they will bring everything, of course. They have to. They're my parents. That's what they're for. They're my servants. They are meant to do everything I want at each of my demands. They must jump." So, in this way, we see this. The forest was full of lessons immediately. And Ram was appreciating the atmosphere of the forest. And then Ram walked in front, Sita in the middle, and Lakshman behind. And as Ram walked and Sita followed, she was very careful not to place her footsteps on his footsteps. So she placed her footsteps in between his. And Lakshman, he was careful not to step on the footsteps of Sita Ram, so he walked to the right, you know, so in this way. We see this spirit. This is not ordinary common relationship of this world. where everybody steps on everybody, not only on the footsteps, not only on their toes, but, you know, I mean, we walk right over each other. Right? That is a material world, a material relationships. But spiritual relationships are of a different nature. Spiritual relationships are based on worship. And we saw Sita worshipped Ram, and Lakshman worshipped Sita Ram. And in this way, we could see the nature of spiritual relationship. We saw that spirit. The other day, I was telling a similar story, and I was remembering how in Mayapur, our devotees would go on the boat with the deities of Nitaipada Kamalam, and would go preaching and on the Ganga. And in this way, they would come to villages that ordinarily were not easy to reach because there was no road to these villages. And when they came to these villages, and the devotees came in with the kirtan party, all the people, they ran into their houses. They said, "Oh my God, what is this? You know, what kind of people are these? They run away for the kirtan." All the people ran into their houses only to come back running out of the houses carrying arti trays. And they all began to worship the devotees. So this is spiritual culture. This is the culture. This is spiritual relationship. We worship. We always worship. Always worship our superiors. That is the spirit. And in this way, we saw how Sita Ram, Lakshman were in the forest. And then it is explained that there at Prayag, they came to the ashram of Bharadwaj. They saw suddenly a sannyasi in the forest, a sannyasi with a danda and everything. Bharadwaj was actually a swami, Bharadwaj Maharaj. And he had his ashram there. So they came to that ashram, and Bharadwaj was very, very pleased to receive them. And he requested them, "You give me one boon. You just give me one boon." He served them and then said, "Give me one boon. Please stay here." And Lord Ramachandra said, "We would have loved to stay here, because to be in your association, what more could one desire? But there is a complication. Your ashram is in Prayag, which is a very famous place, and many pilgrims come to this place. And when people hear that we are here, they will come to visit us. So that will not work. So please tell us of a remote place where we can go." Then Bharadwaj said, "Not far from here is a very beautiful part in the forest known as Chitrakoot. You can go there." Oh, and Chitrakoot indeed. It was a wonderful place. It was a hill, but it was the sunny side of the hill, and so many things were growing, and it was just abundance on that hill. And lo, beneath in the valley, rivers were flowing, and it was a wonderful place. So there they made their cottage. And there, outside, near the door, next to the door, they placed two golden bows with quivers, with arrows standing there. And then they lit the sacrificial fire. And as is customary, that at that time, many sages in the forest would keep the sacrificial fires burning non-stop. So in this way, Ram also kept a sacrificial fire burning and was just offering these oblations. Meanwhile, Bharat, who had not been there when KK had requested Ram to be banned, who had been absent, Bharat returned, only to see that everyone was totally upset. And then he asked his mother what was going on. And she told him what was wrong with his father. She said, your father is not ill. There is nothing wrong with him. He's upset. He's upset because I've used my two wounds. One is to ban Ram to the forest for 14 years. And the other is to place you on the throne. I have secured the throne for you, my son. She thought that Bharat would be pleased. But it was not the case. Bharat was acting as if he was bitten by a snake and treated her like a snake. And was, you know, and said that like from this day on, you know, she is not my mother anymore. He wouldn't even speak to her. He would speak about her. He would tell others, she is not my mother anymore. Like that. And he also said, I would have killed her if she was not a woman. So Bharat was definitely a little bit upset. Bharat was somewhat on the upset side. But then again, you know, then after a while, what happened was, is that in the kingdom, things started to get out of hand. Dasarath died, and there was no king. There was no king, and Bharat didn't want to do it. And the ministers came to him, and they said, look, you know, destiny is destiny. And somehow or other, you know, although Ram, of course, was qualified, but by destiny, he's in the forest. And now, by destiny, Dasarath has died. And now, by destiny, there is no king, and all the upstarts, they begin to plunder, and everything gets out of hand. We need a king now. Therefore, accept the throne. These were his superiors. This was the order of the Brahmanas. And it was logical. Now what to do? Of course, Ram should have been on the throne, but now he couldn't. So Bharat should do it. Now whether Bharat did it or not, I will not discuss right now. That, and if you've already read it in the comic book or already saw the cartoon, or if you already, you know, saw the long series of the Ramayana and you actually know this part, don't tell your neighbor, okay? But, you know, whether Bharat took the throne or not, we don't know. But what we do know is that after that, Bharat assembled an army. So that didn't look good. And he came with this huge army. I mean, there were hundreds and thousands of men on horses who were expert fighters. And there were many chariots. There were many elephants. It was a huge army. Even the queens were taken. And they all came there to the Ganga. When Guha saw that army, he said, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Trouble, trouble, trouble has come. Ooh, serious, serious. So, and they wanted to cross the Ganga. So, Guha was like, Ganga, yeah, it's difficult to cross the Ganga. We also sometimes try to cross the Ganga, but, you know, very few succeed. Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know. He didn't say that he had so many boats, that he had hundreds and thousands of boats, that he could take them across. But anyway, eventually Bharat managed to convince him that he was not coming with evil intention. So Guha took him across. And then the whole army came across the river, and there they waited on the bank of the river. And then Bharat went ahead and visited the sage Bharadwaj in his ashram. So as he visited the sage Bharadwaj in his ashram, it was very interesting. Because Bharadwaj was very happy to see Bharat, but he asked him, Bharat, why did you come with such a big army? It's nice you came, very happy to see you, but Why did you bring all these soldiers, Bharat? I mean, you're not going to hurt Ram, right? And Bharat said, no, don't think of me like this. How can you think of me like this? Then, okay, Bharadwaj says, well, I know that you are dedicated to Lord Ram. I know. Then Bharat said, please tell me where he is. I must find him. Then the sage said, I will tell you, but I tell you tomorrow, because first you have to stay as my guest. He said, and where are all your soldiers? Why have they not come? Bharat said, oh, I didn't want to bring them because I was afraid that the elephants would step on your ashram and crush it all. You know, an army is an army. And Bharadwaj said, no, let them come. And then Bharadwaj made arrangements for everyone. He chanted mantras, and by his mantras, he invoked all the demigods. He invoked Vishwakarma, and Vishwakarma built a camp. And Vishwakarma built this whole camp, and all these soldiers were nicely housed. The brahmanas, they had cottages, and they were places where they could perform sacrifice. And for the soldiers, for the common folk, Bharadwaj arranged apsaras. And every soldier got 15 apsaras to take care. And, you know. So the soldiers, they said, we're staying here. We're not going any further. This is the perfection of life. You know, what more? What more? We have attained in life what a man can desire. There is nothing greater than this, right? Let the heavens be the heavens, right? We don't care about them. We stay here. We have everything we want. So we see the common man, right, is in ignorance and doesn't understand the real goal of life. Therefore, we cannot expect that even under auspicious circumstances, even when the leaders are actually Krishna conscious, that the common man on their own will just be strong. We can see a little bit of distraction, 15 apsaras and they were finished. Right? I mean, you know. Of course it is said that these apsaras are many, many times more beautiful than even the most beautiful ladies on this planet. But only the common people could be distracted in this way. So it is interesting. And then finally, Bharat goes to meet Lord Ramachandra. And he finds Ramachandra by that fire that is constantly burning, in which he is offering oblations. And then he tells him, right, that Dasarat has now left this world. So then Lord Ramachandra is getting overwhelmed with deep grief and deep sorrow, and he is just lying on the ground in tears. But the brahmanas remind him and say, no, this is not the time to grieve. This is the time for you to perform oblations on behalf of your departed father. You are the eldest son. It is your duty to do so. Oh yeah, oh yeah. So it's interesting that even Lord Ramachandra, who is so exalted, but that he also became overwhelmed by grief when his father died, and that he needed to be reminded of his duty, and as soon as he was reminded, he did immediately. So he showed that human trait, he was always following Dharma, but yet he was human. And even he was, when overwhelmed by grief, was temporarily suspending his duties. So we see this in us. Therefore, we can understand and we can derive from this is that we should never be alone. That we should always be in the association of devotees, because sometimes we become overwhelmed. Either in the way of the soldiers, you know, by the apsaras, the heavenly dancing girls, or like a devotee who becomes overwhelmed by the death of his father. But somehow or other, we are prone to become overwhelmed in this world. And we are not above it. That's very clear. If even Lord Ramachandra is not above such human sentiments. Therefore, we need shelter of devotees. So that when we are overwhelmed, that someone else with a cool head would tell us, wait a minute, shouldn't you be chanting your rounds? Oh yeah, my rounds. I forgot all about that. The princess has left me, and now what do I do, right? I haven't eaten, I haven't slept, I haven't moved from this spot. Okay, that's all very good, but chant your rounds. Oh yeah. So in this way, even at the time of a calamity, that we can get shelter by the mercy of the devotees, who remind us, wait a minute, you know what I mean? Wait a minute, chant, that has to go on. Lord Ramachandra performed the oblations on behalf of his departed father. So, in this way, and then Bharat explained to him that he wanted to crown him as king right there and then, and that's why all the queens were there, that's why everyone was there. Even KK had been brought, even she was brought. Bharat wanted her to see the whole thing. Of course, some might have thought, well, he brought KK just to show her that he was really finishing off rounds, so some still had some doubts, you know. But Ram explained that his father had given an order, and that order still stood, you know, and his father had changed that order. Right? That was the last order he got from his father, the last instruction, so he had to follow it. And no matter how much Bharat explained, look, you know, you are the best, you are the natural ruler, and, you know, now the conditions have changed, now he has passed on, and now there certainly is a need for you to be there. I will serve you, but Bharat, but Ram wouldn't do it. And of course we know that Bharat eventually had to return alone, but he requested the shoes of Lord Ramachandra, and he came. And he went home all the way carrying those shoes. And he placed the shoes on the throne. And Bharat also dressed in tree bark. And Bharat also ate only roots and things from the forest for those entire 14 years while the shoes were on the throne and while Bharat was commanding the army, right? And ruling the country. But yet, he did it in that way, dressed in tree bark, and so on. So, it's quite... I have chosen this particular pastime to focus on, because I thought I could do a whole overview of the whole Ramayana dramatic performance for you. And don't worry, I'll do a little bit of that. I'll get a little dramatic now. In a moment or so. But I wanted to take it a little deeper and look at the refined nature, their exalted natures that they had, and how amazingly dedicated they were. What to say? What to say? You can see that it was a different time. You can see that that was the age of Dharma, the age where everyone would basically try and act according to prescribed duty. And therefore, in a way, we can see that although the Ramayana is still wonderful, is absolutely inspiring, but not so inspiring to us that we are going to follow the standards of Dharma. Because we are not from that age, we're not so inclined towards Dharma. We're weak, right? You know, I feel, I'm ill. That's always a good one. That gets rid of all Dharma, you know. I'm not well today. Oh, in that case, all right, okay. Then you can break the rules, yes. So somehow or other, we find an excuse, and we see that the heroes of the Ramayana would not find any excuse whatsoever. Dharma is upheld under all conditions, always, again and again. I mean, even when Ram is banned to the forest, he just follows Dharma. Even when his brother explains, look, you know, father has died, look, things have changed, it's a mess, come home, we need you now, you know, you are the one who has the power, you do it. No, Dharma, Dharma, Dharma. I mean, we would say, yeah, well, you know, I mean, Dharma is good, but it's got to be practical, and I mean, you know, you can't be fanatic about it all, so, you know, it's all right, you know. I mean, yeah, you want to follow the rules, but if it doesn't work, what if they don't work? If it creates bad circumstances, the kingdom would have been better off if Ram went back. Then shouldn't he have gone? Yeah. And who was going to take care of his mother? Ram himself was lamenting. Ram was sitting in the forest and he said, now what can I do here from the forest? How can I serve my mother? Even the two pet birds that she has, they can serve her better than I can. Because when she's doing her puja, and when the cat comes and sneaks up onto the altar to steal the offering, then those pet birds, first they come flying from the sky, and then they peck the head of the cat, you know, and the cat, meow, in this way, even these cats are doing better, even these birds are doing better service than I. Oh, Ram was lamenting. Yes, how could he neglect his mother? No, it was the order of his father. And then, you know, the sage Bharadwaj had said, you stay here and I offer you,
stretch my leg and don't get carried away.
It's not for you. Thank you. So, first he thought, how can I take advantage? Then he thought, how can I serve? And he took advantage. So, Bharadwaj offered Ram many wonderful preparations. He said, please, you stay here. I will provide you everything, all that you need. And Ram said, no. My father told me that I should go to the forest and live on roots and, you know, forest berries and things like that. And that's all I will take. So, therefore we can understand why in this movement the Ramayana is not in the foreground. In India, the Ramayana, is it popular? Look, Baba,
of all the gods, you know. They like Krishna. Oh, yes, Krishna is nice. They like him. They like him. Krishna. Yes. But they love Ram. They just love Ram. Ram is top of the pops. He is number one. Oh, yes, he is. How is it so? But we have seen, because when they had...
Hey, Jai, Chup. Shut it up. Hey, Jai, shut it up.
Or I'm going to throw water at you.
This is water. Ice cold. And I'm going to throw it. Okay.
Put out some serious things. Yes. So, why?
Well, we remember that Ramanand Sagar made the Ramayana movies, right? Television series. And it was going on and on and on. And everybody in India got a television. I was I lived in India in those days. Everybody had a television. And everybody watched the Ramayana. We also watched it. Everyone watched it. And boy, every week there was a big thing and everyone was glued to the TV. And in some villages, you know, when they had load shedding, now in South Africa also, load shedding started, right? What the villagers did, they went to the powerhouse and they burned it down. So, you dare to turn off the electricity? Okay, you know. Burned down the whole power station. The trains were going during the Ramayana. Wait a minute, pull the emergency brake. All the people would go out of the train and somewhere find a television to watch the Ramayana. Parliament would stop their sessions during the Ramayana. You know, the government of India is watching Hanuman. And that was how much. All of India was just totally into the Ramayana. And then the politicians jumped on it and they said, we're going to build a temple for Ram in Ayodhya. We're going to Ayodhya, Ayodhya. Build a temple and this, that. The Ram Shilas and a brick for the temple. And then everywhere they worshipped. And eventually the politicians came to power on the strength of Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Ramachandra is very popular in India. It's definite. But in our movement, Lord Ramachandra, although very popular, is not getting the first place. Right? Maybe the third one, maybe or fourth, you know, like, I mean, somewhere like first Lord Chaitanya or first Krishna, then Chaitanya, let's see. Some put Chaitanya first, some put Krishna first, and then maybe Ram, or some put Nrisimha in between. Right? And then Ram gets the fourth place. So, how is that? What is wrong with the Hare Krishna movement? Now that I want to know. Are they not respecting Lord Ramachandra and today Ram Noni? Huh? Oh yes. Yes, no. The reason is that ultimately this is not the age of Dharma. And although the Ramayana is so inspiring, still it's not the medicine for this age. Because if we have to do it with Dharma, but of course, you know, we need the Ramayana. We need the stories of Hanuman, because otherwise we're going to watch Spider-Man. And, you know, and that's just... And Hanuman is much more far out than Spider-Man. Right? Yes. It is. After all, you know, Hanuman, when he was only a child, it already started, right? He was like very, very powerful. It is said that there was some semen from Vayu which was kept in a pot for a special occasion. And this salmon then became the source of Hanuman, who then became the son of Anjana, Anjaneya. So it is said that Hanuman appeared in the night, and she was a heavenly damsel who had been cursed. Somehow or other, she once became overwhelmed by passion, and she was cursed to take her birth in as a monkey, right? Because of her lusty desires, and on earth. So she was sent down there, but she begged forgiveness, and then, you know, she was told, okay, as soon as you've given birth to a son, you can return. So as soon as Hanuman was born, his mother was ready to go. You know, so he grabbed her cloth and he said, wait a minute, where are you going? You are my mother. You can't go. No, she says, no, I really have to go now. I'm sorry, but I have to go. And again, Hanuman says, no, you cannot go because you are my mother. And I am hungry. You know, it's like, so then, you know, she says, okay, don't worry. Just eat everything that is red and round. You know, so it was night, everything was black, right? Otherwise, there was nothing red and round, and he was starving. Gosh, he was hungry. And then in the morning, the sun was rising, and it was red and round. Yeah. So there, Hanuman just jumped up in the sky. So, you know, suddenly this monkey is just flying towards the sky. He's flying towards the sky with his mouth wide open, a giant of a monkey, and like it looked serious, and the sun was getting like alarmed, and, you know, ultimately Indra interfered last minute and threw a thunderbolt at Hanuman, which broke his jaw, right, and a little piece of his tooth also. And that's why, you know, we have this toothpaste which is called Vajradanti. I use that toothpaste, you know, because then I remember Hanuman every time I brush my teeth. Every morning, I put it on my toothbrush and I'm thinking about Hanuman. Then I brush. Good toothpaste you should also get. It's nice. And tasty also, but don't eat it. Yeah. Anyway, so Hanuman is, of course, such a personality. I don't know. Anyway, Hanuman then, in spite of the fact that Indra hit him, still managed to swallow the sun. So the whole universe went dark. So all the demigods came, and it was a big thing, and everyone said, Hanuman, you know, let the sun go, and Hanuman, no way, right? He was angry, you know, I would be angry too, so
Hanuman kept
the sun in his mouth, you know, you're throwing things at me, I'll get you back. So, you know, then different demigods, they all started to give Hanuman different benedictions. And finally, Brihaspati, who is the guru of the demigods, and who is very wise, he came. And he had the solution, because he understood in a deeper way what Hanuman really wanted. So he understood, he's hungry. So he was saying, Hanuman, if you let the sun go, I will tell you I give you all the knowledge about delicious berries and, like, you know, that are red and round and juicy and tasty and fat and, like, in unlimited varieties of things and lots of other nice fruits that you can eat. And Hanuman said,
spit the sun out just like that and say, okay, it's a deal. It's a deal. And so they made a deal, and in this way, Hanuman received the knowledge of all that. Now, you know, but after that, with all these blessings, Hanuman was still too powerful, so he caused disturbance in the universe just by his power. So finally he got cursed by a sage that he would forget all his knowledge. But then, you know, Vayu interfered, and then the sage sort of added, but it will return to him when he is reminded of it. And that basically happens. So now we are at the point, Sita is lost, and the monkeys are looking everywhere for Sita, and they've looked all over India, everywhere, to the south. Jatayu said it went to the south, that, you know, and they looked everywhere, and they were at the southern tip, and still no sign of Sita. And Sugriva. Sugriva, before they went, had said that, bring back Sita, or you're finished. If you don't bring back Sita, you don't have to bother coming back. You know, that's the monkey way of doing these things. So that was then the case. And finally what happened was, is that the monkeys hadn't found Sita. So they decided it's useless. There is no point anymore. We have tried everything in our mind. We cannot find Sita. We may as well forget about it. It is useless. Useless it is. We will just give up our lives. Why would we return? Why would we return to Kiskindha? Why would we return there? There is no point. Pat on the back. There is no point in returning. Old Indian trick. No point in returning. Because we'll just get killed when we come to the Kiskindha. We may as well die here. So they decided to give up their lives. And they were lying on this hill. And then, high on the hill, lived a lonely vulture. And this lonely vulture, he was very old. And that vulture could no longer fly. That vulture, because he couldn't fly, when vultures cannot fly, it's a little difficult, because vultures, they fly high in the sky and they look down for dead body. And vultures, they have telescopic eyes, like zoom lens. Like that. So they can fly 8 kilometers high and see what is on the ground. Or even further, they can see. So this vulture, right? This vulture couldn't fly. He was very old and therefore very hungry. For a long time, he didn't have any food. Then he saw all these bodies lying on the hill. And he said, food. The whole hill is covered with food. For so long, I didn't eat. And he was coming down. And the monkeys were lying there. And that huge vulture came, walking closer and closer. And the monkeys said, oh, and here we are dying. And now this vulture is going to eat us. Just because Jatayu said that Sita had been taken to the south before he died. Then the vulture said, Jatayu? Jatayu died? Jatayu died? He says, Jatayu? Jatayu is my younger brother.
He died, and it turned out that his food were friends with his brother.
Oh my God. Oh, God. Oh, geez. So that day, again, he didn't eat. But anyway, when he heard what Ravana had done, and that he had killed his brother, and that his brother had heroically fought that Ravana, then immediately somebody also joined Lord Ramachandra. And he looked around. With telescopic eyes. Zoom lens. And sure enough, he saw Sita there on Lanka. And then, you know, that was it. And the monkeys, they had a big feast, right? A big feast immediately. They were fasting. Monkeys don't like fasting. You know, monkeys hate fasting. So if you don't like fasting, then... So the monkeys were all like, you know, gonna go and save Sita, right? And then, you know, they're all gonna go and jump to Lanka and this, that, you know, Anjana was gonna do it, but they had big, big bellies, you know. Prabhupada used to say, big belly, Lanka jumping. Forget it, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So they didn't know what to do. Then Jambavan, it is said, is an expansion of Lord Brahma. And Jambavan is very learned, therefore, because Lord Brahma, the Vedas, come from his mouth. And he's the original Brahmana. That's Lord Brahma. So that's why we speak about Brahmanas, because they come from Lord Brahma. They get the Vedas, the knowledge from Lord Brahma. So therefore, Jambavan was very learned. He knew everything. So Jambavan knew that Hanuman was cursed. Jambavan said, I would have gone, but these days I'm getting old. So it is a bit far for me now to jump all the way to Lanka. But Hanuman can do it. Hanuman can do it. And then Jambavan reminded Hanuman of his strength. And it was then that the full strength returned to Hanuman. And it was then that with that full strength he went to Lanka, and then the whole thing, you know, flying in the sky, the demoness in the, you know, who had this benediction, everyone goes in my mouth, and, you know. But, and mouth became bigger, Hanuman became bigger, the demoness mouth, bigger, Hanuman still bigger, and then Hanuman became very small, and then bloop, went in the mouth and back out. So, I've been in your mouth. Gotta go now. Hanuman, going into Lanka, slapping Lanka Devi, and boom, finished, you know, going in. And the curse was there. When Lanka Devi, who guards the city, will be divided, defeated by a monkey, that will be the end of Lanka. And then Hanuman, yeah, tail set on fire and all that, you know. And anyway, that came after. Actually, first Hanuman was sitting, found Sita in the Ashoka Grove. He looked at all the princesses, who's Sita, but then he found her. And then he came down in his monkey form. And first Sita said, Ravana, what kind of disguise is this? And she thought it was Ravana. But then he convinced her, no, he was a messenger of Ravana. Eventually she accepted, gave her ornament and so on. And, oh well, Hanuman burned down Lanka, you know, for fun, because a monkey needs a little fun, you know. It's important for monkeys to have fun, right? You know, it is. Huh? So, yeah, anyway, so in the end you get the battle. And in the battle, all I can say, it is said that Ravana looked out of the window of his palace and he saw the monkey of armies. And I tell you guys, there was one
Maha Ogre of monkey soldiers. Can you believe it? One Maha Ogre. An entire Maha Ogre of monkey soldiers. And Ravana just said, well, first I kill these monkeys and then I'll kill Ravana. So how much is a Maha Ogre? It is a one with 64 zeros. I don't know how to pronounce it in any other way. But that's how many monkeys there were. And of course, big battle in the end, you know, the whole thing. The final thing is the tragedy where Ram and Sita are united and Ram gives up Sita. Sita enters into the fire and is taken out by Agni, and in this way her purity is guaranteed. Ram happily takes her home, but then one day when Ram is in cognito, one barber has an argument with his wife and he says to the wife, I'm not taking you back. No, you go. I'm not taking you back. I'm telling you, you're not coming in the door. I'm not taking you back because you spent the night in another man's house. And I'm not taking you back because I'm not like Lord Ramachandra who took back Sita. You know, I'm a man of principle and I'm not taking you back. Well, Lord Ramachandra was a bit taken aback by all that. That struck him deep in the heart, because there and then he had to make the most difficult choice. There and then he realized that he had to, for the sake of Dharma, break his own heart into a million pieces and break the heart of Sita into a zillion pieces. And he had to do the ultimate duty and make the greatest sacrifice and tell Sita to go. Okay, that's too much. I tell you one thing, folks. This Dharma is too much. It's just too much. I need a happy end, you know. This is too much, you know. And then, you know, they live long, happily ever after, you know. Come on, you know. Put your Dharma aside. No, not even for Sita. Oh, my God. You know, that's why, you know, no. Ramayana is wonderful, but in the end, no. We go to Krishna. At least Krishna broke his promise, you know, to save Arjuna. Right? Remember? No. To save his devotee. Yes. No. We will be Krishna Bhakta. Yes. No, I'm convinced now. After the end. I had my doubts as I was hearing the Ramayana. I was thinking, Ram. And it's like, you know, I go back a long way because, you see, when I first came to India, Lord Ramachandra was the first deity I ever saw. Because the first temple I went was the temple of Lord Ramachandra, and that was my temple. It was a small Ram temple. Later on, they renovated and made a big marble Ram temple. You know, I miss my old Ram temple. It was so nice, really. Oh, it was such a nice temple. And the deities are really close, and now they're high up and far away. It was so nice. Ah, yes. And then, of course, I went to Benares, and there in Benares, I picked up the Sri Ram Jayaram mantra from a temple because it was playing 24 hours a day, and after a while it goes in your head. And then when I was back in Europe, that mantra was still playing in my head, and I was driving my car. Sri Ram Jayaram Jayaram, Sri Ram Jayaram. And then, when my mother was in her final days, I didn't know what to do. What do you do? She's dying of cancer. What do you do now? I was alone with her in the room and I thought, what do I do? I got to do something sacred. Let me sing that holy temple song. Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And I sang it for her, you know, as she left this world somehow or other by the grace. So I got the mercy of Lord Ramachandra that although I was covered by ignorance, that somehow or other I was able to bless my mother with that, with his holy name. So I'm greatly indebted to Lord Ramachandra. How can I ever forget Lord Ramachandra? Therefore today, on this day of Ram Navami, and I was chanting the name of Ram for 4 years before I started chanting Hare Krishna. Every day, Sriram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Sriram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Sriram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And then, on this day, my attraction to Lord Ramachandra has been reawakened. But this end of the Ramayana is just too much. It's just too much. No, I'll be a Krishna Bhakta. I worship Lord Krishna. Yes. Teach it kevalaya bhakti vasudev paraya. It's Vasudev Krishna. It's, yes, no doubt. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says, my devotee will never perish. Who always, name bhakti panashyati. Yes, ultimately the full mercy of the Lord is manifesting Krishna. It goes beyond Dharma. It goes to the platform of love. When love transcends Dharma, that's what we see in Krishna. And therefore, we are serving Krishna. And as our Ishtadev, our worshipable deity. Who also comes as Gauranga, who we are worshipping here in Indonesia. For some reason, they wanted to come here. Yeah, not Sitaram, no, Gornitai. Not the common deity, but its effect that everyone, even those who are from Bharat, even those who have the culture and the tradition, who know the Ramayana, whose children can perform plays on the Ramayana, even they need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because even those who know are weak in following Dharma. And therefore even they need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to be strong. Somehow or other. Because we must be strong. So that we can go back to God at this lifetime. Okay, with that, I'm 15 minutes overtime, which is not bad, and I did it on purpose because there has to be that little bit of extra, the bonus, you know. If you end exactly according to the schedule on time, then what's missing is the mercy bonus. So that had to be there. I hope you appreciated this lecture. I didn't tell you the whole Ramayana, but, you know, I've zoomed in on a few details for your inspiration. Anyone likes to add something? They can comment. Otherwise, we will end this part of the program, and then it will continue with some little kirtan, stand-up kirtan prasadam, and, you know, I have so many people to give the Gayatri mantra to, so I'll go downstairs and give the Gayatri. But you all stay, have the kirtan, and then, because only after the kirtan will prasadam be served. Namacharya told me,
no, we're not serving prasadam before the kirtan's over.
He was very strong about it. And I'm joking. For that. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.